holy crap. So I don't know what just happened. Is there something on my fucking face? So I'm just staring at you, listening to you talk, and where those two doors meet, that little tiny piece of black painted, well, wall right there between it almost literally felt like a glitch was happening. And I had black paint and white paint, just like a, almost like a television screen when there's like no channel, just and it disappeared as soon as I looked. Holy shit.
Oh,
that was weird as hell.
We had a fucking Glimmer Man in here.
We might have had a Glimmer Man. Something was trying to reach from one dimension into the other. Man. Dude, I don't know what that was. I keep thinking there was like a hair in the corner of my eye or something like that, but no. Well, I'm fucking freaked out now.
I'm glad I don't have to see it.
Yeah, that was weird. I was just like literally the black and white static. Static.
I don't like that you said static and it fucking the mic static.
I am not liking this whatsoever. You know, people will call it ants. Like ants running all over the screen. That's what they call it. Yeah, that's what it literally looked like. But it looked like something was phasing in and out. Like that was phasing in.
Yeah, I don't like that. I get cold chills. Also, I should point out my allergies are really like fucked up and like tickling the back of my throat.
Fuck.
So if I laugh a lot and then I cough, I'm not sick. It's just
great. Like, can't wait for everyone to hear that. That's what I'm gonna name the episode. Cough, cough, wheeze, wheeze.
Yeah, cough, cough for me. You for
okay?
Me,
so
wheeze, wheeze for you.
I need. I don't like that corner. I need to be very selective in what I talk about.
Yeah, I don't like that. I have no visual to the corner. So, like, when you freaked out, I was like, what? I expected, like, your wife to come through
that
the door?
That was legit, dude. I am not one to stand outside and hear someone go, huh? And be like, wow, that was Sasquatch. I must be breeding. And I will think it's a man who just stepped out on his back porch to take a piss. That's what I don't really think that way. A lot has to persuade me that it actually is paranormal. But that, I don't know what the hell I just saw. It was about 2 feet from the ground. My house is a portal. I don't know where.
Little fucking
Topeka, Kansas.
Little fucking static gnomes.
Static gnomes. Is that a new cryptid? That would be cool as fuck. You know, I just bought a book. I just bought a book on gnomes.
Did you? Oh, they came with it.
Synchronicities.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm gonna have to look through that book. You know, the book is like apparently from 1979.
Why did the ground just feel like it vibrated?
Did it?
I over here, dude. What is happening?
But the so this book I got on gnomes, which is irrelevant to the entire fucking episode, of course, but it's an old timey from, I think, Sam Nguyen. I'm not sure you say that. I think it's Asian. It's Nguyen. You see that name all the time. I do. Sure. Maybe he came to that portal. But I see this book on Amazon and everywhere else for like $100. And I'm like, well, I got it on ThriftBooks for like 17, if that.
Well, I mean, a lot of times with books on Amazon, that's if you buy it new.
Well, I wonder if it's a collectible. I don't think it's reprinted anymore.
Oh.
Either. And like I said, it's 1979. I'm freaking out. I'm just going to move on to the episode here. TFR News. Beep, 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 beep. Breaking news.
We're being attacked
by
gnomes.
We're being fucking invaded.
Apparently.
By static gnomes from a different dimension.
Oh my God, I want to create static gnomes now.
I do too.
It's so... I don't know.
Get that on some merch for no fucking reason. No one will know what it is. What is that? Like, I don't know.
Yeah, it's so, like, you take, ooh, like, you know, like, the ooh, fucking, like, old TV, like, polar bear in a snowstorm looking thing.
Yeah, yeah.
And then it's just that, but in the shape of a gnome with a little hat.
Oh, I get you. Okay. For some reason, picturing that, I can just imagine how it feels.
Yeah. It's like when you, like, sit on your foot. And, you know, you get the little prickly needle feeling.
Yeah, it's like when you sit in your hand for a while and then you masturbate because you're like, this is somebody else.
Yeah, stranger in the bathtub.
There you go. Phantom limb masturbation. Of course, that's just when you have no arm, but apparently you can still masturbate. I don't know,
that's
man.
That's a good song.
World's crazy. Yeah, it is. Oh, what
Jesus
was that?
Jesus fuck.
Windows update. Not now, you won't, bitch.
Let's not do that.
That's going to suck. Anyway, so TFR News. Welcome back, everybody. I'm Matthew, and that's Josh.
Hello.
We hope you're all doing well out there. Thanks for joining in on this episode. We got a lot in store. We hope you enjoy it. And
yeah.
If you finish it and you're like, man, I want more. Well, we got a back catalog. Check it out.
We got a lot.
Speaking of merch that we just suggested, we do. Yes.
Oh, we got something coming down the pipeline.
We do finally have some merch coming through. It has been long overdue.
We said it like every episode that we were going to do it, and then we just never did it, and then we took a year off, and now we're doing it.
Yeah.
It's gonna... We have a shirt.
Right now.
Yeah.
But...
Well, we don't have... It's not out yet. Don't go looking for it. You're not gonna find it.
No, you won't.
If
you
do,
won't find it. You won't find it anywhere.
Then...
Let us know.
Yeah, let us know, because I want to know why, how the hell that happened.
Because I want it to. No, but yeah, we got that coming down. We have some other ideas in the works, and that will all be presented where?
Monster Fest.
Monster Fest. Good job, Joshy.
That's what we'll be in, you know, in the good graces of a lot of big name paranormal stars. Oh my God. Is
June 3rd.
I thought it was later in the year.
No.
Uh-oh.
June 3rd.
Uh-oh. But yeah. Okay, never mind. It's lights hit the car. I thought, like, so...
Oh, God, what else? What's happening now? UFO invasion?
I guess there was a car going by that, like, the light was reflecting on the window, but, like, when it first passed by, I thought it was, like, a weird, like, whiff of fog. And I was like, what the fuck?
God.
But we're going to be in the good gracious of a lot of, like, big-name paranormal stars. Big-name podcasts, and then there's going to be us.
Yeah. At the very bottom of that list, who's that?
Yeah,
that's us. Yeah, if you have to look at the list and go, who's that? That's us.
Yeah.
Just so you know.
I've never felt like, actually, I do. I have always felt like I never belonged somewhere, but, you know, it's going to be a good time.
Do you now?
I very much feel like we don't belong there, but it's going to be a good time.
We might shake some hands, you know, we might work our way into some groups. We had no idea.
Shake some hands, sign some babies.
Yeah. we didn't feel... two in the crowd because it was our first event when we went to CryptoCon a couple years ago.
This is true.
Feeling great. Made a lot of cool connections. But June 3rd, Canton, Ohio. We will be driving on up there, by train because that'll derail. And
Canton, Ohio. To the person that's listening to this that I told you was in Canton, Ohio, I was wrong. It is Canton, Ohio.
Oh my God.
I couldn't remember.
You're telling the only person going to see us that it's somewhere else?
I ran into a friend and they were like, oh yeah, how's
are they okay? How hard did you run into them?
Not too bad.
Okay, all right, fine.
But they were like, oh yeah, how's everything going? And I told them about the con. I was like, yeah, we're going to be at a booth. We're going to have a booth at this con. I was like, it's going to be in Kent, Ohio. I had, no, Kent, never mind. Canton and Kent are two different letters that sound the same.
That's what C's and K's are, bro.
You know what? It's fine. I don't think they're listening.
Dude, I'm going to call a school and get you enrolled. Yeah, he needs to go to fucking kindergarten again.
Yeah, I don't think they don't listen. They're not going to go to the con. Unless they do. Just don't go to Kent, Ohio. You might get shot if you're in college.
That's anywhere in Ohio. That's anywhere.
There's literally a song about it, about the fucking Kent State shooting.
Okay, well, doesn't like that.
Neither did they.
No. So let's just go ahead and get into our first story here. We know we've covered some merch that's coming down. We've covered what our plans are in a couple months.
Did you even bring up, like, talk about Monster Fest at all? Like, who's putting it on?
Oh my God. Small Town Monsters. I'm so sorry. Let me bring up the fucking website so I can be as accurate as possible. Load faster.
Because
I have a gig of internet. Load faster.
Very excited about this.
Whoa, I put in Monster Fest and it sent me to GoDaddy. What did I do? Thanks a lot, Josh. Thanks for fucking this up. I was ready to move on.
I was just trying to promote the con, man.
No. So, small. God damn it. Fucking ad. Yeah, accept my cookies. I don't care. What flavor do you have? White macadamia nut? Get off. All right. So, yeah, Friday, June 2nd, there are some people that come up to the Canton Palace Theater for a Small Town Monsters film premiere on the Trail of Bigfoot, Land of the Missing. Ooh. And then June 3rd, Saturday, that's when the con is. And that will be, what times? I think it's like maybe 9 to 5, 9 to 6. I can't find it on this page just yet, but listen to this. We have Lauren Coleman, the Cryptozoology Museum. Lauren Coleman. We have Cliff Berrickman. We have Stan Gordon. We have Richard Haddam. We have Jim Harold, who's like the grandfather of podcasting, paranormal podcasting, basically. We have Eli Watson. We have Forrest Burgess and Scott Philbrook from Astonishing Legends. We have Lyle Blackburn. We have Alexander Petikoff from Small Town Monsters film crew. Obviously, we have Seth Breedlove there too. And there's many, many more.
If it wasn't for podcasts like Astonishing Legends, we wouldn't exist.
That's, yeah, I think I would agree with that. Because when I started getting into podcasts, man, that's one of the ones I went to first. And I was like, wow, these two gentlemen do a fine, good job.
And Shannon LeGros is going to be there from Into the Fray, which I have an episode with where I talk about my paranormal tales.
Yeah, check out Into the Fray. I don't know what it's called, the episode's called. You have to look that up.
What, my episode?
Yeah, your episode.
It's just called The Hypno Realm.
The Hypno Realm? Yeah. Okay. Yeah, Into the Fray, The Hypno Realm.
Yeah, she used my Instagram handle just because, like, that's how our conversation started, because I did the tree knock thing in at cemetery.
Yeah, for like
sent it to her.
That was about fairies, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, fairy knocks.
Yep.
Yeah, but yeah.
That video is still weird.
It is weird. Because that's the only knock you hear the entire time is to respond to you. At some points, I'm like, maybe it's a echo. But if you really listen to it, it does sound different compared to your knock. And I'm like, well, there might be some other things going on that might make it sound different. But I'm like, it sounds like a genuine other knock.
And I also didn't knock hard enough for there to be an echo.
I mean, that's true. And it was just like, what, one of the few trees in that cemetery? Mm-hmm. It wasn't like you were in a forest.
Yep.
Yeah. Very interesting. But yeah, check that out. Check out Monster Fest. And like I said, merch coming down the line. We do have some collaborations coming our way, too.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. We'll, when we get a little bit closer, we'll tell you about that.
Things are happening.
Doesn't it, though?
It does.
Feels like we're truly a part of it.
Yeah, finally.
Doesn't feel like we're two 30-year-old virgins just sitting in their mother's basement.
I am 29.
Oh. You act 30. How about that?
No.
No? Well, all right, fine. Take it or leave it, I guess, but...
Oh, I will be honest.
First piece of news. This is incredible. I'm going to take the best piece and just throw it out there first. Let you guys have at it. Okay, I got to get myself situated for this. This is a big one. This is quite the doohickey. Okay. You ready for this, Josh? You ready? Brace yourselves. I know the ground was shaking a minute ago, so you good? Mm-hmm. All right. Meatball from long extinct mammoth created by food fern. There you go. What more do you need?
Of course this would be the big fucking news for you.
You call me fat?
I didn't say anything. I'm just saying you're a foodie, and I'm not surprised. Also, I'm trying to figure it out. I heard about this somewhere, but I don't know where, because I haven't listened to like any podcasts, like new episodes that this would come out of. Where did I hear this from?
Where did you hear it?
I don't know.
Going to the grocery store? Did you pick up some like Marie's Calendar spaghetti and meatballs? And someone's like, no, don't get that. Just wait for the good stuff when this Australian mammoth meatball comes out.
Oh, yeah. Jungle Gems. Duh.
Oh, duh. That's where it'll be.
Yeah, exactly. You can get fucking ostrich eggs there.
Can you really?
I think so.
Oh, my God. But yeah, a mammoth meatball has been created by a cultivated meat company resurrecting the flesh of a long extinct animals. The project aims to demonstrate the potential of meat grown from cells without the slaughter of animals and to highlight the link between large-scale livestock production and the destruction of wildlife and the climate crisis.
It sounds like the beginning of a fucking sci-fi movie.
I hope they somehow recreate a mammoth and then they just take over again.
Yeah, this is exactly like the start of a fucking sci-fi movie where you're like, oh, we're going to create food, and then all of a sudden, oh, the food kills
people. It's like, nah, we're going to just create a mammoth and weaponize it and then send it over to fucking Russia.
Uh-huh.
That would be fucking sweet. Except tanks have mammoths.
Dude.
Bro. That would be so cool. I wonder if they feel in their tusk. I don't think they feel in their tusk, but like you could hollow it out and put like weapons in that. Whoa. Now I'm thinking of like Zoids. Remember that show?
Yeah.
It's one of the coolest fucking shows ever. They had a mammoth.
Did they?
Yeah.
Wasn't Zoids like a knockoff between like...
Hey, don't say that.
Transformers and Power Rangers? Didn't the Power Rangers have a mammoth?
Yes. Yes, they
Maybe
did.
That's what I'm thinking of.
You can't go wrong with a mammoth.
What the fuck was Zoid? Now that I'm thinking about it, I don't know if I know. I know as soon as I look at it.
It had two seasons, I think, and it was gone.
Zoid.
Yeah, there was other shows, I think, that came out after, like little spinoffs maybe, right? They tried to reboot it. I think they came back somehow, some way, somehow. But yeah, Zoids was awesome.
Oh, I do remember this show.
Hell yeah. But the mammoth meatball was produced by Vow, an Australian company which is taking a different approach to cultured meat. There are scores of companies working on replacements for conventional meat such as chicken, pork, and beef, but Vow is aiming to mix and match cells from unconventional species to create new kinds of meat. Oh, God, what other species are they fucking working with, you think?
No idea.
Neanderthals? Denisovans?
Found it.
Yeah, there you go, man. Of course, I don't know if that's a mammoth or an elephant.
Zoids Mammoth the Destroyer.
Okay, it's probably
Mammoth. I mean, the picture I showed you, it's literally called Zoids Mammoth.
Well, I didn't read it, damn it.
You fucking idiot. God damn.
Well, okay. Well, I'm not going to read that, but I'm going to read this. The first cultivated meat to be sold to diners will be Japanese quail, which the company expects will be in restaurants in Singapore this year. What?
What makes it? I mean, is there a difference between like a regular quail and Japanese quail other than that it's in Japan?
I'm sure. Could I tell you? No. Well, it's like moose, for example. I think there are moose either somewhere in like Europe or Africa. I heard someone.
Those are two very different areas.
I heard somewhere that's not North America, essentially. I heard it, but wherever they are much smaller than the moose we have here in North America. So, I mean, there can be differences.
It's outside of America, it's Europe or Africa.
The goal is to transition a few billion meat eaters away from eating conventional animal protein to eating things that can be produced in electrified systems.
Oh, this sounds like a fucking PETA propaganda.
The company has already, investigated the potential of more than 50 species, including alpaca, buffalo, crocodile, kangaroo, peacocks, and some different types of fish.
Wow. This is also going to be like one of those sci-fi movies where it sounds like these people are being very like eco-friendly. It turns out they're like actually slaughtering all these animals.
Yeah. They try to be a bunch of eco butt munches and then they that's what the sci-fi, you know, original movie that airs at 9 p.m. on Saturday, that's what it's going to be. It's going to be like something about mammoths where they make a meatball and they eat it and they turn into mammoths.
Oh my, I'm here for it.
Or do they just grow mammoth features but stay human?
That's terrifying.
Could you imagine just like a group of like 23 people running at you and they're like, their nose is just down by their balls and they got tusks growing out of their cheeks and their skin turns leathery? Maybe some big ears.
Weren't mammoths hairy though?
Yeah. My bad. Yeah. I'm thinking elephants.
You idiot. God,
elephants.
You moron.
I don't think anyone's eating it. This fucking meatball. And I would be terrified to eat it because God knows what would come of it. My body's not used to that.
Nope.
They would think it's like some fucking foreign agent and would attack it.
Oh, yeah. You're immediately going to have the shits.
Yeah, like, that's a
good 100%.
In 2018, another company used DNA from an extinct animal to create gummy bears made from gelatin from a mastodon.
What the fuck? What?
I'm here for it. This is cool.
Science, you know,
is awesome.
We still can't figure out how to get to like the bottom of the ocean to explore like the entire ocean or other planets, but we sure as fucking try to make food from extinct animals, I guess.
I guess. I mean, there's a
Jurassic Park taught us nothing.
There's an Australian company that's
Australia doesn't exist.
Oh, that's right. Everyone's like, what's that big floating mass of trash out there? Oh, my God, that's Australia?
Yeah.
No, I'm just kidding.
Anybody that says they're Australian, they don't exist.
From down under.
Like Rhea Ripley, fucking the new SmackDown Women's Champion.
Hell yeah.
She exists, but she's not Australian. She's from New Zealand or
shit. It's a guys?
Yeah, because New Zealand exists because they filmed The Lord of the Rings there.
That's how we know it exists, because a fucking movie filmed there?
Yeah. I know Mad Max filmed in Australia, but that doesn't exist.
There's some company in Australia, I think, that's working on, like, you know, bringing back extinct species, trying to, like mammoth or like the thylacine.
Okay, again.
Which won't work in our climate these days, by the way. They'll probably fucking flip out and die.
All of these extinct animals will. They'll be like, what did you do?
Why do you think they're extinct? And I think that group I'm talking about, unfortunately, I can't remember the name, but I think Chris Hemsworth is like not necessarily part of it, but donates to it. Like he's all about it, which I think is kind of cool. To be fair, because he's a hunk. Oh my God. What's this? Initially, the idea was to produce dodo meat.
Oh, yeah, the stupid bird.
Well, supposedly, even though I found out that apparently they didn't just kill themselves, that they were basically run to extinction because just like any other predator, you know, they would see a human and they run the other way, and apparently they just, unfortunately, accidentally would fall off cliffs or whatever else.
Oh, so Ice Age was pretty accurate.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah, there's a mammoth in there.
Melon.
There's a mammoth in there.
Uh-huh. And a saber tooth and a
sloth. Yeah, the sloth. Let's have some ancient sloth meat. Imagine that sliding down my gullet.
That just sounds like it'd be like grisly.
Oh, I'm sure it would. So yeah, mammoth meatballs. They're something now. There you go. Put that on your next plate of spaghetti. Yeah. Nice little noodles and the blood of Italians. There you go. Make your nice dish of spaghetti. All right. Next thing I want to touch on, literally just touch and move on. There's a time traveler. I think he's on TikTok from 2049, and he claims the world will be struck. The only reason I bring this up, by a zombie virus by 2024. This was about a month ago. This came out. And it just so happens, here's from Science. Oh, by the way, the mammoth thing comes from The Guardian. And now I'm talking from the Daily Star about the time traveler. And I bring up another article from Science Alert. Plant fungus infects human in first reported case of its kind.
Oh, no. The Last of Us.
The Last of Us is happening. And then if it's The Last of Us, you could obviously say it's zombies. So maybe this time traveler is like legit.
I'm not going to trust anybody on TikTok.
He has hundreds of followers.
So do I.
I'm just saying, some people do. Then some people are on board with this guy. Mr. Trevor the time traveler.
Considering the amount of bots that follow me, it's probably all bots.
Maybe I'm not gonna go through all his followers, so I can't tell you. But the other reason I wanted to bring this up is that on December 15th, 2025, Ohio will announce a war against the whole world.
Fuck yeah. Wait, is this after the zombie virus?
Well, so he says in 2023 to 2024, a zombie virus will spread, infecting a fourth of the population, but it will be cured.
Oh, only a fourth? Fuck, that's fine.
So now Ohio is going to war with the entire world.
That's fucking right, bitches.
You think you can fuck with Ohioans? Oh, boy.
You know what? I hope he's right now.
What?
I hope he's right.
Why did he pick Ohio? Because it's like the most fucked up state literally to live in.
Gonna be the fucking best. Gonna fucking take over the world. Not even just the United States. It's the world.
That's what I'm saying. Because it's the whole world.
We're gonna take everything that's fucking been in fucking Wright-Patterson Air Force Base and use it. It's going to be amazing.
So when this war in Russia and Ukraine is still going on in 2025, are we going to have like Mike DeWine go to the president and be like, nah, we got this. And then he's going to send all the troops and fighter pilots and shit that he has from what? Right, Pat? Uh-huh. Over there to fight the Russians? Uh-huh. And then as soon as we conquer Russia, because, you know, Ohio can do that.
We're going to like shake the leader of Ukraine's hand and then flip them off like Stone Cold Steve Austin used to and then turn on them, take them over.
Absolutely. Shove mammoth meatballs down their throat, watch them get sick and shit their pants.
Now Ohio has the mammoth meatballs?
They're incapacitated. They won't be able to work.
So if we already had the meatballs, then we took over Australia then?
Yes. Australia will be first. That's not hard to do. As long as you go and you speak kangaroo.
I was going to say.
You can have them turn against them.
Didn't they have like a fight with, like a war with fucking
emus?
Emus and lose?
Yes. Yeah. You hear that, Australian? Australians, if you didn't know that, look up your own history. You got in a fight with emus and you lost. So what? What could Ohio send over there and probably take care of them? Woodpeckers?
The amount of fucking meth heads we have, we should be fine.
I'm sure we could send a skunk or two. And then probably by that next morning, get an alert from CNN, be like, Australia's yours. Oh, cool. Sweet. All right. So we do Australia first, then we move on to Russia. And then once we have that superpower, then we take over the U.S.
Here for it.
Why Ohio?
We're playing our own game of fucking...
What would start the war?
Fuck, who the hell knows?
Why would Ohio... What's going on in Ohio that won't happen anywhere else in the world?
I don't know. Fucking rail systems that work?
That's what it will be. We want your railroads. We're going to build railroads under the ocean.
Also, shout out to Revolution Split Brewing and their fucking Freedom Lemonade that has gotten me to this very happy level.
Tastes like USA.
Right now, yes.
Even though it probably says made in Taiwan or something, I don't know.
It's literally brewed in Chicago.
Is it? Oh, it's brewed in Chicago?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know you had it in Chicago. I didn't know it was brewed in Chicago. I take that back.
Yeah, it's a Chicago brewery.
Okay, okay, all right.
Revolution Brewing, you guys kick ass. Thank you.
Oh, my God.
Your hat, you put me in a
we'll go Ohio. State. Go Ohio. I'm not sure why you're going to be doing that, but yeah. One user wrote, nice joke. Another said, Ohio? Really, dude? A fourth asked, what will happen to me?
A fourth? Where was the third? You said two comments.
Oh, I skipped the third. A third said, how can a state declare war against the world? This is all a sham. Oh, I know people. I know there was a kid in school that was like, you know what I'm gonna do? I'm gonna bring in some pigs. I'm gonna number them one through. I'm gonna bring in three pigs and name them 1, 2, and 4, and let them loose in the school. And then they'll never find three, but they'll search for it.
That's diabolical, and I love it.
Absolutely, absolutely. Oh God,
that's the kind of chaos I love.
I just can't. Wait, we're gonna use Mars as a backup planet.
What? Hold on.
Yeah, something about wormholes too. Oh, alien species, less than 2 decades. Oh, there's. Oh my God, I didn't know TikTok was just home to time travelers, because there's like read next, and it's just time traveler, time traveler, time traveler, time traveler, huge meteor. Scientists will make contact with aliens. Hostile aliens built the pyramids, and something about a war. Oh God, it might be including in Ohio. No, who knows? Dude, Ohio. No, Ohio can't get their shit together. They have cats probably that just walk into a nuclear silo and knock over a nuclear missile, and the whole fucking state will blow up.
This just reminds me like when we were in high school and Russia was like invading. In the country of Georgia, somebody that we went to school with was like,
oh my God, they're so close.
Yeah. They thought they were taking the state of Georgia. And I was like, what? Is Russia just coming for the peaches?
We want that one. Yeah. We want that one. We're scared of Ohio. Leave Ohio alone. We want Georgia.
Oh, they totally would have. They obviously skipped over Florida, too.
Ohio's a scary fucking place, man.
Yeah, so is Florida. I wouldn't fuck with Florida. See, that's why I don't believe.
Yeah.
See, that's why I don't believe that Ohio is going to take it over. Like, Florida is going to be their own sovereign state because, like.
And then Texas?
We can't take it because, yeah.
Unless something happens in the next 2 years in which, I don't know.
I mean,
it's
true. I mean, this is post the fucking zombie apocalypse, apparently, even though it's not an apocalypse if it's only wiping out a fourth of the fucking population.
Well, so. Well, I never said zombie apocalypse. Just a zombie virus will strike.
Ah, that's true.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm glad I wanted to just touch on that. And, whoo, God, that was another 20 minutes. Is this episode done yet? God, it's more than half over almost. Okay. Well, yeah, so just know that a time traveler said that there will be a zombie virus, and I'm surprised that now we have plant fungus that infects humans, first case of its kind, and then Ohio is going to go against the goddamn world.
So, yes, believe everything you hear on TikTok.
Absolutely. Now, this next piece comes from Popular Mechanics, and I don't know. A man is suing the FBI over DB Cooper's tie, and the result could solve the case. Why is this just now? Like I don't understand.
Like, DB Cooper tie, like his actual like physical tie that he wore.
Apparently, but as far as I'm concerned, there's like nothing of him around.
What the fuck?
So, if you don't know what DB Cooper is, it's the only unsolved skyjacking in U.S. history. And it still baffles the FBI, you know,
yeah,
today.
It was Loki.
It was, yeah. If you watch, you know, the Loki series on Disney Plus, you'll see that he played DB Cooper. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, apparently, the gentleman's name is Eric Ulis, U-L-I-S, an amateur sleuth, as they put it so nicely in this article, believes that the FBI is blocking the possible breakthroughs related to Cooper's infamous skyjacking, and he wants to sue the FBI to make sure important details don't get lost. Ulis says further investigation of the notorious skyjacker's left-behind necktie could yield additional DNA that may lead to a break in the unsolved case. But since the FBI is blocking investigation of Cooper's tie, Ulis has no chance but to file a federal lawsuit against the Freedom of Information Act, according to Portland television station that broke the case on COIN, K-O-I-N. Ulis says the partial DNA profile that the FBI has is from the tie. It is unclear as to where on the tie it came from. Given that it was 2001 and we're dealing with 2001 technology, they probably pulled something off of the front of the tie from the fibers. Maybe a little bit of saliva that was dried up or something of that. How
was DB Cooper a fucking drooler?
Well, so why wouldn't this had already been done? Like, what makes Ulis believe the tie was never tested for DNA whatsoever? Unless, if the DB Cooper skyjack actually took place, since there are a bunch of theories and some evidence in which it never really did take place, unless the FBI was in on it, why would they want to?
The FBI doing something nefarious? Never.
Well, sure.
Fucking unheard of.
FBI, CIA, corrupt, some of the most corrupted, you know, governmental programs that we have.
Don't say that on the air. Now we're going to be, oh, God damn it, now we're on a list.
Well, now they're going to tap in and do what?
Listen to us.
Sir, they're talking about big, thick aliens again. You want me to just storm the fucking house and kill them? Nah, just post some men in black with a black Cadillac out front and scare them a little bit. Have that glitch happen in the corner of the room again. Have some static gnomes infiltrate their house.
They're here.
But yeah, so I only bring it up because I just, why now?
I don't know, man. Why?
That's my question. Why now?
Why anything?
DB Cooper's tie for DNA. Why now?
Somebody was bored and they're like, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to just cause somebody to have to do a lot of fucking paperwork. Some intern, some poor intern somewhere is like, oh, God damn it. I got to file all this paperwork.
Yeah.
Because this fucking asshole.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And this case has been, it's been over 50 years.
These poor interns, man.
If they really want, there's even, I was excited for a special that came out on Netflix. It's like a 3 or 4 part series about DB Cooper. Where Are You? I think is what it's called. And you watch it and you're just like, what the fuck is going on? Like, these guys are too heavily into, like D.B. Cooper was an actual gentleman, and he is still alive. I think there's a scene where they find some guy in, like, a parking lot almost, and they're, like, almost kind of harassing him. Like, just tell me you're D.B. Cooper, running after him and shit. And I'm just like, what is wrong with you guys?
Did you say it was called D.B. Cooper, Where Are You?
Like, yes.
Fucking Scooby-Doo?
Yes.
Fuck.
I'm pretty sure it's D.B. Cooper, Where Are You? I could be wrong, but yeah. So DB Cooper, what he did, if you are not familiar with the case, he was on a plane. All right, I think he said he had a bomb and he wanted $1 million, which was, I don't know how much that would be now. I think it was $1 million. And then he went and he got a parachute and he left the plane. That's essentially the entire case. Mm-hmm. And no one's seen him since. Obviously, there's been a whole bunch of investigations on, you know, where he could have landed and where he could have walked off to, and maybe some people that look like him, maybe they changed their name, their identity, as an entire or whatever. But that nothing comes to fruition, obviously, just like many of these cases. But I don't see why this is important now, because I feel like the tie would have been thoroughly investigated.
We have more important things going on in the world.
And I mean, it's not like they haven't investigated it. I mean, I'm sure they would keep investigating it. Technology grows every year, so why wouldn't they if they were really hell-bent on figuring this out?
Even though I feel like at this point they don't care.
I wouldn't. I would imagine they don't give a shit at this point.
Like, yeah, because this guy's, like, even if D.B. Cooper survived and if he was still around today, like, he's clearly not a threat anymore. I think he just, his fucking parachute got caught up in a tree and he's still stuck in a tree somewhere as a skeleton.
Well, even says right here, he asked to analyze the tie and the FBI had actually granted access to private parties in the past, but he was denied. So, I mean, other people have had access to this tie. God knows what they did with it. I'm not trying to totally just shit on Euless here, but I feel like it's a unwanted fight. No,
guy that sued Red Bull because he didn't get fucking wings.
Yeah, no shit. I mean, it's, you know, Euless, you sound like Ohio, and the FBI is the world. Okay, that's the best way I could put it. I don't see you doing anything with this. But yeah, if you want to try and keep up with that, have at it. Again, this was on Popular Mechanics. So, next story, which I find very interesting. I almost want to save this to last, but I was like, nah. This comes from CBC, Montreal. By the way, and we're in Canada here.
Oh, fuck.
U.S. argues for immunity in MK Ultra mind control case before Quebec Court of Appeal. Now, this is something that's brought back up. Why now? That I'm like, okay, this is kind of interesting. So, okay. A proposed class action lawsuit over infamous brainwashing experiments at a Montreal psychiatric hospital was before Quebec's highest court Thursday, which this came out on March 30th. Victims attempted to remove immunity granted to the United States government. The U.S. government successfully argued in Quebec Superior Court last August that the country couldn't be sued for the project known as MKUltra, allegedly funded by the Canadian government and the CIA. U.S. lawyers argued that foreign states had absolute immunity from lawsuits in Canada between the 1940s and 1960s when the program took place, even though I thought it took Did it end in the 60s? Why do I feel like 70s?
I don't know.
But survivors and their families.
Right, though.
Yeah, but survivors and their families of the experiments at Montreal's Allen Memorial Institute, which included experimental drugs, rounds of electroshocks, and sleep deprivation, appealed that decision. On Thursday, a lawyer representing the United States government told the Quebec Court of Appeal that the country should be immune from prosecution and that any lawsuit against the U.S. government should be filed in that country. The court case stems from a class action lawsuit filed against McGill University, which is affiliated to the psychiatric hospital. Montreal's Royal Victoria Hospital and the Canadian and U.S. governments after Montrealers allegedly had their memories erased and were reduced to childlike states. We've all heard about MKUltra, obviously, which is actually kind of a little hint, wink, wink, to our next episode. Is it MKUltra? Nope. But it is some other governmental operations, some psyops that are very interesting that I found.
I'm excited.
So the class action lawyer, Jeff Orenstein, said Thursday that he believes Canada's 1982 State Immunity Act, which outlines how foreign states can be sued in the country, is retroactive and can apply in this case. He said that the 1982 Act allows foreign states to be sued in cases of bodily injury. But this took place in the 1950s and 60s, Orenstein told reporters regarding the psychological experiments, and so the exception had not been in effect during that period, so the U.S. argued that the old law would prevail and that the old law was absolute immunity. What we're claiming is that the law is retrospective, that you can look back even before the act was passed and apply it today. I mean, there's other laws like that. Why should this be the law? I mean, for the damage that this operation caused, I think granting immunity is a bit much.
A little bit.
The government has done a lot of other things, like what was that one? I feel like planes would fly overhead and like drop toxic gas over like Californians or something like that to just see the effects, and nobody would know what was going on.
Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Anytime they say trust your government, no.
Well, oh my God, this is never going to end. The train derailment in Ohio and all the chemicals that spilled in the water. New report came out that some of the investigators that were first on the scene testing the water actually felt ill and were hospitalized, even though we have everyone going, that tastes fine.
Yeah, because you're drinking from a straw from the fucking, like, pouch of water that's attached to your hip.
Yeah, absolutely. You got that little bottle of Aquafina and just poured in a glass right before you walked up at that podium. But, obviously, any of that can be retroactive, you know. I mean, that's a whole kind of different idea than this type of, you know, state immunity act and such like that, but it's like consequences are held, act or no act. And I feel like, especially in this case, no pun intended, that, yeah, the states should have to offer some type of compensation, some type of reward to it. I don't know how you do it. I mean, again, here's a better example. The Twin Towers.
Oh, God.
And how the firefighters and, you know, police and all the other personnel that got sick and got cancer from, I guess, the debris.
Oh, yeah.
I think it was just the debris,
yeah,
mainly.
Yeah, when the towers fell, like, everything that, yeah, like, all the asbestos and everything that the towers were made of, like, that was just one giant cloud of cancer.
Yeah, yeah. And I think they passed an act later, and I mean much later, because they were just hoping that a lot of those emergency personnel would just die off, essentially. I mean, that's bare bones, that's how you put it. They're just like, no, we'll wait this out. But it's like, if you put that retrospectively, yeah, they were on their line of duty saving those people. They should be paid out in some way, shape, or form. So absolutely, this should work.
Which is really fucked up to think about how many, like, older houses are made of materials that, like, oh, if it crumbles, it could make you sick. It's like, oh, we're just living inside things that make us, like, that are cancerous.
Absolutely. Well, like radon, it's a natural, like, radioactive, you know, element that seeps through the soil. And I know plenty of people that were like, yeah, we bought a new house and we had the inspector come out and they were like, yeah, this is pretty good. You know, your crawl space is a little damp and blah, blah, blah. And I detected some radon in your basement. And they're just like, okay, that's fine. Thanks. I'm like, bitch, do you know what radon does? It's like the leading cause of lung cancer in women in the U.S. I mean, that shit fucks you up. Get it taken care of. But anyway, yeah.
Radon, not a sponsor of the Farther Future podcast.
Absolutely not. So yeah, the class action request filed in January of 2019 alleges that the government of Canada funded psychiatric treatments by Dr. Ian Cameron at the Allen Memorial Institute between 1948 and 1964 that were allegedly part of the CIA's MKUltra program of covert mind control. It has not been authorized yet by a judge.
We are essentially trying to create the perfect super soldier.
Yeah, so the Court of Appeal will render a decision at a later date. I feel like this needs... I only found this on some back news website I've never fucking heard of, and I heard someone else talk about it, so I found it there. But I feel like this should be a little more upfront. I feel like this is a fairly significant case to be talking about.
It's almost like the government pushes stuff under the rug.
Yeah.
Never heard of it.
They tuck it. But yeah, the most, you'd almost argue the most like secretive, well, it was kept under wraps program until the documents were released in like 90s or something like that. That they would never reveal that. If they could, they would never reveal that. But for whatever reason, and I don't remember the reason why, I've read into it before, why it was essentially revealed to the public. But yeah, I'm kind of a loss for words, I guess. But yeah, they absolutely need some type of retroactive compensation.
Yeah.
So now, the next piece of news I have here kind of goes hand in hand. I got two. HuffPost is one, and then phys.org, which is P-H-Y-S. So it's like, you know, physicality, physiology, physics. It's probably just physics. Anyway. So there's a mystery animal caught on camera in Texas.
Right? Is this the trail cam?
Yes, in a Texas park, it ignites a debate because clearly there's something there. This does not look fabricated, but no one really can tell what it is. So have you already seen the picture? Yeah. Okay, so
at least I'm assuming it's the picture I'm thinking of.
I would assume it's probably this one that you've seen here. Here, let me turn around and show it to you.
Yep.
Yeah. And so people were arguing it's a jaguarundi. Have you ever heard of that animal?
Fuck, did you just call me?
I think that's how you pronounce it. I have never, ever heard of a jaguarundi, but it literally just looks like a big cat. And I think they're extinct. It's got a weird as fuck face to it. It's almost kind of like a cartoonish cat, but it's like cute in its own way. Kind of weird cute.
They're so grumpy looking.
They are so grumpy looking. Because probably like, here I go, going extinct now. But
it looks like it could be a hippo. Looks like it could be like a baby hippo.
Sure.
Or like a hairless like raccoon or something.
Its head looks like it was just put on another animal's body. Huh. It looks fucking weird. It almost has eye features. The AYE hyphen AYE creature. It's almost a little like, I don't know if it's a marsupial or a mammal or... what's its actual classification? But yeah, it's got the big eyes. That's traditionally how people were like, yeah, I know exactly what that is. Okay. Its face does not belong on its head, and its head does not belong on its body. I'm gonna double down on that right now. This looks like something that was concocted in a lab and thrown out into the wild. Maybe it is. But I think they're extinct. They're gone. Last one hasn't been seen in quite some time. But I can see how this picture looks like it. People think it's also a pregnant badger or a pregnant, like, I don't know, some other four-legged type of mammal.
I mean, it is a super compelling picture because a lot of times when you see those trail cams, like, it's pretty easy to be like, oh, it's a deer. Oh, it's a raccoon. Oh, it's a pop.
It's easy to tell what it is, and it's easy to tell if it's fake or not.
Yeah, and that one, I'm like, I have no idea what I'm looking at.
Well, it's funny because I think the only reason why it's gaining attention is that so many people have no idea.
Yeah.
Like, no one is concrete. Like, yeah, a park ranger in disguise. You think that's what it is? You think he bought this suit off Amazon and just got on all the fours and ran around?
100%.
No. No. A new species, an escapee from a zoo? No. I don't think so. No zoo has reported anything. So I'm gonna bite that in the ass right now and be like, no. No, this is not a park ranger. What the fuck's wrong with you people?
A lot of people like to jump to conclusions that don't make any sense than, you know, taking in what possibly could be out there.
You're right. You're absolutely right. I'm gonna say this is an ultra-terrestrial creature. Came here from another dimension inside of Earth's core.
100%.
Uh-huh.
Hollow Earth theory.
Uh-huh. and it came back, or it was first reported in like early 1900s, and it introduced lemonade to us.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay.
That's what my hypothesis is.
It's like the fucking Hollow Earth theory, like in Kong versus Godzilla, when he like does the little like flip thing.
Yeah.
Doesn't make any fucking sense, but you know.
Yeah, gravity is just, somehow there's like a fine line, and it's like the gravity goes up this way and the gravity goes down this way. I'm just like,
but I'm not going to argue it because it's a movie about giant monsters. So where am I to?
Exactly.
That doesn't make any sense.
Where do I insert my argument? Nowhere, because it doesn't. Yeah, it's all sci-fi. So why should I even try to argue? But yeah, I don't know what this is. I find it interesting that a lot of other people have no idea what this is. But if it is, like, say, the extinct Jaguarundi, obviously that paves the way for thylacine, which a brand new article came out.
Oh, God.
Here we go.
Some fucking Australian company's going to be like, we're going to make
no, we're
meatballs.
Back in Australia. That's what we'll do. That's what Ohio will do. They will get the scientists that created the mammoth meatball to make a thylacine, and then they'll just attack Australia with its own fucking creature.
Oh, my God.
We'll ride them into battle.
I 100%
with good. Guns that shoot meatballs.
Cloudy with a chance of meatballs.
Nothing terrifies Australians more.
No.
But
nothing scares Australians because everything wants to fucking kill you there.
Like I said, finding out a kangaroo, the red kangaroo, is like 6.5 feet tall. That's fucking terrifying.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to go there at all now.
No.
But so.
If I go there, I'm not leaving the hotel.
You hear a knock on the door, you know, like room service.
Room service.
And you look out the little hole, and it's a keyhole or whatever it is, sight hole.
Yeah.
And
it's going to be a fucking raccoon.
It's going to be a fucking kangaroo. Raccoon.
Kangaroo, yeah, putting his fucking foot through the door.
Yeah. He's like, I see you in there.
Fucking kangaroo jack.
But is this an extinct species that has just eluded, you know, my eyes for so long? My special eyes? Who knows? A new report of the thylacine came out that, oh, wow, some further studying. Maybe these things actually lasted near the 2000s and didn't die out back in 32 or whatever it was. I'm like, see? Look at that. Look at that. I mean, it's so hard to, on one note, for me to just think about it, but on another note, to actually agree and feel like put my scientific stamp on it saying, yes, this animal is extinct. I don't think there's any more because I've checked everywhere.
Oh, yeah.
Like, how does that fucking work? But
I've thought about that, and I
on the other note of something coming out of extinction, the mysterious Corsican cat fox that people have talked about before, which I have never heard of, honestly.
Nope.
It was discovered and revealed as a unique species. The elusive striped cat fox, familiar mostly to Corsican shepherds and as a source of intrigue to scientists, is indeed its own species specific to the French Mediterranean island. The French Office of Biodiversity announced on Thursday. Wow, a lot of shit happens on Thursday. Why is that? New genetic analysis has revealed a unique genetic strain to the wild cats found in the remote forest undergrowth of northern Corsica. Genetic sampling clearly distinguishes the ring-tailed Corsican cat foxes from mainland forest felines and domestic cats. While it does resemble house cats in some ways, the cat fox earned its name from its length, measuring 35 inches from head to tail, and its distinct black-tipped ringed tail. Other distinguishing features include the stripes on the front legs, very dark hind legs, and a russet stomach. The dense, silky coat is a natural repellent for fleas, ticks, and lice. The inconspicuous feline finally became part of a concerted research effort after years of playing a game of cat and mouse. Is that a pun? When one was unexpectedly captured in a local chicken coop in 2008. Okay, so it hasn't necessarily been discovered, but it has been recognized as its own species. But prior to that, it had just been a part of local folklore that these things existed. So again, with shepherd mythology and lumberjack mythology and just all these people that talk about these weird creatures, sure, are some extremely almost just outlandish and, you know, extraterrestrial in their own right. Sure, that's fine. But the black cat, you know, phenomena we keep hearing about.
Alien black cat. ABCs.
I mean, what's to say those aren't actually real?
Oh, yeah, 100%. I mean, I think the whole idea of, like, alien black cats, like, it's actual, like, giant, like, cats, like cougars and panthers and stuff like that. That just
sure.
somehow got here. I mean, because technically, even then, the name still makes sense, like alien to the region. So
absolutely, yeah. And I was trying to look it up earlier, and I couldn't. But there's, you know, there's, I don't know how to explain it, but there are processes in which animals can convert to, you know, acquiring different textures of their skin, different colors of their skin based on their surroundings. One thing is like industrial melanism, I think, where some creatures can change their coats to like grayish, kind of blackish, due to, again, the living in an industrial scenario. Mm-hmm. There's, I can't remember what it's called, but there's also one, I can't remember how it affects, but it's like island dwarfism or something like that, which is like essentially the smaller of the land you grow upon, it's almost like the smaller, you know, physical build you have. I don't want a scientist to come at me for saying shit like that, but it's kind of along those pages. Again, I couldn't find what it was called and I forget, but you're not going to find a random island 50, 60 miles out to sea with nothing around and find like a 12-foot tall moose on it.
You don't know that.
I'm pretty sure you're going to find little snakes and turtles and perhaps some bugs and then Godzilla, especially the old Godzilla, just a dinosaur.
Yeah.
But yeah, so we discovered a new species. You know, you can put your quotations on discovered, however you want to look at that. It has been recognized as a new species. Something in Texas that's scurrying around that no one knows what the fuck it is. I mean, I don't know what the hell that is. It just looks like a hovering potato. I don't know.
It is very potato-shaped.
But yeah, that's pretty much the news that I have of the spooky stuff, but I do have, you know, the new segment, which I don't have a name for. I don't have music for, if I even want that, where I bring in some scientific data that might help people rationalize some more things that are going on in the world of the paranormal. It might not explain everything, and it's sure as hell not here to discount anybody, but it's just another view to take in. Okay? Y'all with me still?
Nope.
Why not?
I don't know.
Because it's not about, like, the Loving Frogman?
Yep.
Because it's not about the Sam, the Sandown Clown.
Yep.
To chop this episode off, I'm going to end with this from Time. Okay? The new strange science behind felt presences. So, Josh, have you ever felt that someone was around you?
Yep. I don't know why when you said felt presences, I just immediately thought of, like, puppets made of felt.
Huh. Well,
because
I wouldn't like that.
That's what a lot of puppets are made of.
And yeah.
It just made me laugh because I was just like, oh no.
The puppets are here. That made you laugh?
Yep.
Okay. I teach their own, I guess.
The idea of puppets taking over, yeah, it made me laugh.
Okay. All right, fine. That's fine. But have you ever, you know, been alone in your house? Been walking through a parking lot? I don't know. Some kind of space that seems vast, seems empty,
yep.
And think that there is not somebody necessarily watching you, but like fairly close, maybe within 15, 20 feet or so, or something like,
yep.
An actual presence is around you.
Yep. Like if I farted, that spirit would smell it.
You would hear someone just like, ugh, pass out and like hit the floor, but you not see anything?
Yep.
I've kind of felt the same. I felt like there have been presences around. Now, do you think each and every one of those presences, like, do you associate it with a human?
I don't know what the fuck it is.
Do you associate it with some type of entity with intelligence? Or are you like sometimes like, oh yeah, I think it's just a land dolphin?
I just assume it's probably the shadow people I constantly see pass by my door.
Oh, the shadow people. Well, now I'm going to start thinking there's fucking Glimmermen.
Fucking could
static
be.
Gnomes.
Static gnomes. I love it so much.
Okay. So yeah, obviously a lot of people have the idea, the feeling of presences. A lot of people, you know, believe someone's watching them. And I think there's been some science on it that it's like a instinct of ours that's kind of been slowly weeding out of our system because we don't need it as much with how, you know, well-developed us humans are. I'm pretty well-developed. Look at these tits. So, big tit energy, baby. So it's a sensation that occupied the forefathers of psychology for a long time, including a gentleman by the name of William James. Writing in the Varieties of Religious Experience, James wrote of a feeling of objective presence, a perception of what we may call something there, more deep and more general than any of the special and particular senses. It was an experience he recognized as key to many a spiritual occurrence, but also one with an often sinister and foreboding air.
Foreboding gay. That's what I call it when I fart in an aisle at a store.
And you just watch people pass out. Mm-hmm.
You
stand from the end cap going.
Uh-huh, exactly.
Yeah. I don't know if the presences I've felt, I would say, are sinister. It might give me the feeling like, why are you watching me, whoever you are, or whatever you are. But I never think, you know, they're standing there with like a Glock and they're just going to pull it out and bust a cap in my ass.
Yeah, I haven't felt that.
So according to this article here, it says, you know, this isn't a ghost story. It's not even a sixth sense, but it's something at the roots of our being. Contemporary neurology, cognitive neuroscience, and psychiatry shows us that such presences truly belong to us because they are linked to how our bodies and minds give us a sense of ourselves. I'm like, okay, I'm on board. So the first piece of evidence comes from case studies of people affected by epilepsy, brain tumors, and other major changes to brain functioning. For instance, in a 2006 study, a 41-year-old man, whom the study called PH, presented to a hospital clinic complaining of fatigue, dizziness, and seizures. The one night in hospital, he awoke to feel he had split into three parts. His left side felt normal. His right side felt somehow just detached from him. And then off to his right, there was another man standing that wasn't him. This figure mirrored his body position. When he tried to look at him, he would look away.
Was it a cut?
Oh boy. I hope there's comments on this page, and I hope that's the top one. Was that a cuck? Was that the elusive cuck?
I'm just asking.
Static cuck comes in from another dimension, just sitting there, hell yeah, and leaves.
Just asking.
Be like, yeah, I didn't like that. Like, here's my number. You know, reach out to me if you're ever free. Here's my email, 69420@gmussy.com. Sorry. So the figure mirrored his body position in every way. When he'd look at him, he'd look away.
He was shy.
A cute little game of eye tag, I guess. But he felt like they shared the same soul. Beyond the man stood a woman, again, mirroring PH, and beyond that, some girls.
See?
He called them his family. Mm. Incest cuck. Cucks. Cucks.
That's a category on Pornhub.
You think the plural of that would be cuck eye?
Maybe.
Good talk.
I said maybe. I don't know. I don't know what to say.
After a few days, the images of these figures receded, but the feeling of their presence remained. PH's experiences were the product of an aggressive tumor in the left hemisphere of his brain, which affected two areas in particular, the posterior insula and the temporal parietal junction. Yeah, I can say those nice, long, big, hard words. You like that? It doesn't look like you like that by the look of your face. You need more alcohol, buddy? Here.
I'm good.
Drink up. Okay.
If I drink another one, I might just take a nap.
The former is a key brain area for processing internal information about our bodies, like heart rate or gut feelings, while the latter is involved in integrating our senses to make a map of where we are in space. Damage to those areas would have changed PH's internal model for where he felt his body was. So when he was visited by this presence, in a way, it did share his soul. It was where he should have been, or his brain thought he was. The next piece of evidence comes from cognitive neuroscience and a team led by neurologist Olaf Blanc in Geneva. Since 2014, they have used a robot to induce feelings of presence in healthy individuals in clinical disorders such as Parkinson's disease. The robot works to disrupt your sensory expectations, so whenever you make a movement, our brains are thought to make a set of predictions about what will happen with those senses. You clap your hands, and the brain is ready for a new sight and a new sound. Yeah, you performed that perfectly.
I fucking hope your brain is
ready. Wow. Cognitive neuroscience. Incredible. So if you mess with that, strange things start to happen. Things that don't feel like us. And instead, they start to feel like something else or someone else. With the presence robot, you make random pressing movements into the air in front of you while the robot presses you in the back at exactly the same time. In sync, it almost feels like it's you pressing your own back. You know, you hear out of sight, out of mind. You have this robot behind you. Obviously, you know that there is a robot behind you. But you make the motion of poking the air in front of you and it immediately pokes you the exact same time, you'll almost feel like you're poking yourself. Oh, so your brain takes the cues from your own movements and the sensations on your back and comes to the conclusion that the only person in this process is you. But when the touches start to then go out of sync, slowing, dragging, you know, not quitting or not quite hitting as hard, participants suddenly feel like a person and not just a robot is controlling the touches from behind. Lots of people with Parkinson's have feelings of presence as part of the condition, and this makes them particularly susceptible to the phantom touches of the robot. So, lastly, we're beginning to recognize the feelings of presence are a missing piece in a story of psychosis. Not long after William James, which I aforementioned, was writing, figures like Carl Jaspers were describing examples of presence in some of the first textbooks of psychiatry, but the trail ran cold for a number of years until very recently. There's now evidence that people who hear voices or have auditory hallucinations also describe high rates of felt presence. Sure, I mean, you want to put an image to what you hear.
Yeah.
And grassroots work such as Rethink Psychosis, led by people with experience of psychosis themselves, are calling for more recognition and understanding of the phenomenon through projects like Psychosis Out of the Box, which is a collection of more neglected and unusual aspects of the disease. The strangeness of presences makes them all too easy to miss in a time-pressured doctor's appointment, but for many people, it may be the figure behind voices or visions that matters the most. If you've ever had your own personal space violated or dreaded to go into certain places because of who might be there, you will know, how much the presence of another can affect you even without a word being uttered.
Huh.
Thinking about presences and not just voices poses a whole new set of challenges for our scientific models of psychosis and how we deliver psychotherapy. In Western societies, we are used to the idea of unitary, consistent self, the core of us that never changes. But psychologists and neuroscientists know that the self is something that can be disrupted in multiple ways. It's less of a one-man band and more of an ensemble piece. In clinical disorders, case reports, or through ingenious experiments, we can observe how radically the self can alter or can be altered to produce a presence. Given the right conditions, all of us could have this experience, whether it's a result of grief, whether it's exhaustion, trauma, or even sleep problems. Man, that sounds like me.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe not so much grief, maybe a little bit of trauma, but sleep problems and exhaustion? God damn, hello, sign me up. So yeah, you look at this, you know, this new science of presences as more of a, not a mystery about others being there, but more of a mystery about yourself. Just learning more about the human body. It's a marvel. It's an immaculate thing. It's incredible. It's the brain is a very interesting piece of this entire universe. And we all just happen to have one.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that's TFR news right there. Look at that. Knocked it out of the park. Wah-pow!
A lot of interesting things.
Oh, look, I got a home run. No, he caught it. I'm out. Okay. Well, I guess until next time. So yeah. What did we learn this day? Josh?
There's hippos roaming the woods of Texas.
Oh, my God. That's all you took away from this?
Uh-huh.
Meatball. Come on now. Sing it with me. Meatball. Spaghetti underneath. Ravioli. Great berry. I'm going to get my neighbor to join in if you don't.
Do it.
Nope. Call my bluff. Look at that. Monster Fest. We covered that. June 3rd. Come on up if you're close to Canton. That's even greater because you can probably walk.
Fucked up. You almost said what I told my
what,
friend.
What, Kent? No. Canton.
Canton. Canton and Kent near each other?
I don't know. Probably not. We got some collabs in the work. Ooh. Everyone
yeah,
go, ooh.
I'm very excited.
We got some merch coming down the pipeline. Social media, like always. TFR Pod Official at Twitter, The Farthest Reaches Podcast on Instagram and Facebook. There is a Facebook group. It has to answer a couple questions in order to get into this super secretive place. I don't know. This cyber lair that we have. And we can discuss anything and everything that's spooky. We have a website, thefarthestreachespodcast.com, where you can see even more of these episodes. There will be images linked with them as well, and the links in which you can go to the websites and read these articles or go buy books that we use or find pictures, whatever it might be. There's even PDFs. There's PDFs. Wow.
Kent and Kent are only 40 minutes apart.
Oh, well, okay. So if you live in Kent, come on over to Kent. If you live in Canton, stay there. because you need to come to Monster Fest.
Yep.
Even if you walk by and go, hey, guys, that's enough to make my day.
Yep.
Absolutely.
That's all I want.
So, yeah, I guess that basically wraps it up. Is there anything else I want to say? Oh, I forgot to mention this, but if you are listening, sir, and you told us a story about a puck wedgie that you think you encountered.
Oh, yeah.
I totally forgot about that till the other day. I was like, whoa, that's right. We hope you're doing well out there, hearing those weird noises and stuff outside his, I think, bedroom window. I can't remember.
Yeah.
And they're like, come here. Come here. Come here. What's that dick do? Come here.
Why you gotta make it weird?
Come on. Puck wedgie, more like fuck wedgie. Let's do it. Sorry, I didn't mean to make fun of that story at all. But no, that's something else we got to cover is puck wedgies.
Oh, 100%. I love them.
And then we're just going to make our own episode about static gnomes.
Uh-huh.
We're going to make our own.
Uh-huh.
How about that?
We could make up anything and people aren't going to know.
No, they're not. No,
until they go back into our podcast and listen to the end of this episode and be like, those bastards.
Those bastards. So, yeah, we got some episodes coming down of governmental operations, of a very weird, you could almost argue a spirit animal, someone's spirit animal over there in the Isle of Man we got coming down. And, yeah, we actually have some very loose, fun episodes we're going to try that are not so much TFR news and not so much, you know, our core episodes. So stay tuned for that.
Oh.
Yeah. Well, everyone. I've been Matthew, and that has been Josh. I speak for him. And
yeah, you did. That's fair.
And we hope you have a great day, great week, great holiday, whenever this fucking airs. Whatever you do out there, be inclusive to the entire world. Stay safe. Stay healthy. We love you all. Goodbye and good night.